In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. When something goes poorly, when something doesn't go according to plan, we usually want to blame someone for it, right? Think of the coronavirus. When cases go up, when infection rates don't go down, we can think, well, maybe it's all the fault of the federal government who didn't work hard enough. Or maybe it's all the fault of doctors who can't figure out a vaccination. Or maybe it's all the fault of the CDC or the World Health Organization for not recognizing this sooner, for giving us too many protocols, for giving us too few protocols. Or maybe it's the fault, right? When something doesn't go our way, we think someone should be blamed, someone should be held responsible, someone should be at fault. But what happens when our life doesn't go according to our plan? What happens when we commit sins and disobey our God? Someone has to be held responsible. Someone has to get the blame. Someone has to be at fault. And so, whose fault is it? Well, the prophet Isaiah in our text actually answers that question, whose fault is it? For in our text, the Lord is singing a song about his vineyard. Only this isn't an ordinary vineyard. Don't think of a fertile plot of ground with grape vines as far as the eye can see, the way you've probably seen if you've ever visited a winery. Instead, as Isaiah says in the last verse, the vineyard of the Lord of armies is the house of Israel. The men of Judah are the planting that was pleasing to him. You see, this song of the vineyard is a song about the Lord and his people. And the Lord loves his people. He would do anything for his people. Just think of your Old Testament history. Think of how the Lord pulled Abraham out of an unbelieving family and turned him into that great nation. Think of how he saved his people from a severe famine by making sure that through Joseph there was actually grain in Egypt. Think of how he delivered his people from slavery in Egypt through the 10 plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea. Think of how he gave his people his holy law on Mount Sinai so that they not only knew what they should do, but they also saw pictures of what the Christ would do when he came into this world. Think of how he sent them prophet after prophet after prophet to urge them to repent. Think of how he protected them from their enemies and even gave them great victories. At times they would win battles, destroying an entire army without losing a single man. Truly, the Lord did some great things for his Old Testament people. He planted them. He nurtured them. He protected them. He loved his people. He loved his vineyard. And yet what happened? We read, he expected it to produce clusters of sweet grapes, but it produced only sour grapes. Think of how disappointing that must have been to the Lord. While he did everything possible for his vineyard, for his people, they produced bad fruit. So what is the Lord going to do with his vineyard? Well, the same thing that any owner of the vineyard would do. After spending so much time and care and energy making sure it would produce good fruit, only to have it produce bad fruit, any owner of the vineyard would have destroyed his vineyard and started over. And in essence, that's what the Lord was about to do with his Old Testament people. For soon after these words from Isaiah were written, first the nation of Assyria and then the nation of Babylon would come and conquer God's people and take them off into captivity. And I don't think any of us blame God for having his people go into captivity. I don't think any of us say it's all God's fault that he sent them off to captivity. God did everything for his people. It was his people who rejected him and produced bad fruit. For as God sings in this song, what more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done for it when I expected it to produce clusters of sweet grapes? Why did it produce sour grapes? So I'm sure that we would all agree that it was Israel's fault, not the Lord's fault, that they were sent into captivity. But the harsh news is that this song of the vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5 is not just about the Old Testament Israelites, and it's not just about wicked unbelievers today. But the harsh news is that this song of the vineyard, this song where the Lord laments that he does everything for his people only to have them produce bad fruit, this song of the vineyard can also be about you. And it can be about me. For think about what the Lord has done for you. He's done everything for you, just as he did for Old Testament Israel. He created you and formed you to be his own, giving you different talents and abilities, making you unique from anyone else in this world. He gives you clothes on your back, food in your belly, house over your head, air to breathe. He gives you family and friends so that you have companions through this journey here on earth. And more than that, he gave up his son for you, who died on Calvary's cross to redeem you from your sins. He sends down his Holy Spirit to you through word and sacrament to create and strengthen faith in your hearts. He commands his angels to watch over your body and soul, protecting them from harm and danger. He always provides a way out for you anytime you're tempted by the devil. In fact, he protects you so well that he gives you beautiful promises, promises such as, no one can pluck you out of my hands. Promises such as, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus your Lord. Truly, your Lord has done so much for you. He has planted you, nurtured you, protected you. And yet, unfortunately, at times he looks down at your life, and what does he have to say? He says, the Lord expected you to produce clusters of sweet grapes, but it produced sour grapes. Or think of your life. Think of the way you've sinned despite everything the Lord has done for you. For you sometimes take credit for all the blessings that you have in this life as if somehow, some way, you earn these blessings on your own apart from God. And then if you don't have enough blessings or the exact blessings that you want, you complain to God, asking him, what is he doing up there? Don't you care about my life? You sometimes reject God by refusing to hear his word, either by skipping church, skipping devotions, or by simply not paying attention to his word or taking comfort in it in a time of need. You walk right up to the devil and dabble in his business because it's so gratifying to their sinful flesh to commit those sins. And then when you do commit a sin, it's easy to think, well, that was just a little sin, a little disobedience, a little bad fruit. It certainly can't harm me. I'm still a believer. I still have faith in Jesus. So what's the big deal if I commit that sin again or again or again? What's the big deal if I accept that person's sinful lifestyle? And when we commit those sins or any other sin, we're actually playing with fire quite literally. For your God has to say to you, what more could have been done for my vineyard than I have not already done for it when I expected it to produce clusters of sweet grapes? Why did it produce sour grapes? You see, it's not his fault that we sin, that we disobey. That's our fault. We have no one to blame but ourselves. And therefore, as we heard last week, we deserve to be punished. For every time we engage in sin, every time we dabble with the devil's business, every time we produce bad fruit, we deserve our God to dig us up and throw us away. For as Isaiah concludes in his text, he expected justice, but instead there was oppression. He expected righteousness, but there was an outcry. You see, while we love to shake our heads at Old Testament Israel and say, how could they do such a thing, rejecting the Lord, forcing the Lord to send them into captivity? What we don't often like to do is look at ourselves and see how we deserve to be oppressed and see how we deserve to cry out in distress, because we can't blame anyone else for our sins. They are our fault. And so we deserve that oppression from God, and we deserve to cry out in distress forever. For because of our sins, each and every one of us deserves to be thrown into that lake of unquenchable fire. My dear Christian friends, that's this song of the vineyard. It's harsh. It's uncomfortable. But it's very clear. And if we try to run away from it or close our ears from it, it'll eventually catch up with us. Because the Lord is clear that he's going to destroy every vineyard that doesn't produce good fruit. And so, my dear Christian friends, instead of running away from this song of the vineyard, hiding from it, or closing your ears to it, when you hear this song of the vineyard, may it motivate you to run to your Savior Jesus, to hide in his arms, and to open up your ears to his promises. For you see, that oppression that we deserve because of the sins we committed, your Savior Jesus suffered that oppression for you as he hung on Calvary's cross and bled and died for you. And that cry of distress that all of us deserve to cry out because of our sins, your Savior Jesus cried out in distress for you. My God, why have you forsaken me? Do you remember him saying that? And whose fault is that? Why is Jesus the one enduring oppression? Why is Jesus the one crying out in distress, even though we are the ones who sinned? Whose fault is that? Well, that's God's fault, if you want to use that word. God's to blame for that. For even though any other owner of the vineyard would have just destroyed his vineyard and started over, your God couldn't do that to you. He loved you too much. You see, that's his one and only fault. Again, if you want to use that word, he has too much love for you. And so out of his great love for you, he had to oppress his only begotten son. Out of his great love for you, he had to force his son to cry out in distress, my God, why have you forsaken me? He forced his son to go through those things for you. So that instead of being punished, your sins can be forgiven. And you can live with your God for all eternity in heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the love your God has for you, a love that you hear every time you gather in church, whether online or in person. In fact, that's why it's so necessary to continue to gather here week after week in whatever way we can. For since we're going to continue to sin week after week, we need to go to the place where we find comfort and hope and peace and rest. And that is only in our Savior's arms, who loved us and gave himself up for us. And so, my dear Christian friends, let's listen to this song of the vineyard. Let's hear that it really is our fault. We're to blame. We sinned. We disobeyed. We deserve to be punished. But when we hear that truth, Let it not drive us to despair. Instead, let it drive us to our Savior Jesus and to his love. He has a love for you that gave up his life for you. He has a love for you that has forgiven your sins. He has a love for you, a love that will do absolutely anything to make you his pleasing vineyard for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Nicene Creed as printed in the bulletin.